company page.
Too bad you can't cure, bitch!
You can sell this for $1 million, because I'm gonna be famous!
So when in doubt, you kiss Crank?
Most girls on the planet look like this. Did you flip a switch and erase me from your memory?
You just walked out on a date with one of the grass's coolest girls for your mom's pasta sauce?
You gave me a social disease.
Taste the lines up.
Well, hello, fellow DeGrassos, and welcome to Last Shift at the Dot. I'm your host, Perino, and I'm happy to usher in season three, but I regret that in order to get to the most amazing episodes of the season, we actually have to suffer these two back-to-back Emma episodes. But we'll be talking through Degrassi, The Next Generation, from beginning to end. We'll be talking about the episodes, the characters, the actors, and the drama. We're going to give you what you came for, so who's here is ready to do whatever it takes?
Woo!
Season three!
Let's do it.
I can be your father.
So I was thinking about this episode, and there's about a two-minute period of time that I actually have fun, and it's the montage of Craig and Emma traveling on a train, and no one's doing anything. I don't think you hear them talk, which is great. But it seemed fun. And so, you know, for our audience, we usually do a cast member intro. And what I was thinking of doing is I want to know who you are, and if you cut school, what was the craziest thing you did? But if you didn't, what was your craziest high school trip? And for me, my name is Perino. I went to high school in the 70s. And the craziest thing we did was we went to a tower in North New Jersey that was supposedly haunted by the devil. And the way that you partook in this haunted tower was you had to drive your car backwards 3 times in reverse. And I won't say who was driving. It was the 1970s. But that certainly was a much cooler experience than being in class. So I'll give it over to you guys.
The 70s? I thought Perino would have been in school in the 80s.
Perino knows is how old he is.
He looks older than the other 80s guys.
Whenever it was, they definitely were all drinking while driving. Like, that was probably normal. So.
Oh, yes, it was expected back then.
It's a requirement.
Your favorite pastime, drink and drive.
Are you drinking anything special today, Perino?
Oh, no, just coffee. Nothing cool.
Well, I guess I'll go next. My name's Natasha. I'm drinking some Josh wine. I love some Josh. And I guess, like, the craziest thing, I'm thinking high school, but probably did some weirder stuff in college, skipping class. But I guess I felt like a little baddie. When I was in high school, there were a few times that I would skip and go to New York and see Nina and hang out with her all day. So my parents would drop me off in the school and I'd be like, bye. And I walk around and then go to the bus stop and then go to New York. And it was seamless.
And I can't remember. So I'm Nina. I can't remember skipping that much in high school because I was a nerd, but I did skip a lot in college. And so if Natasha was visiting me and skipping her own school, I probably was skipping whatever classes I was required to take too. And I'm pretty sure, Tasha, one of the times you skipped, which meant I skipped too, was for some reason like a My Chemical Romance concert or something, because we went to so many back in the day. So maybe that was like the most early 2000s thing to do when you skipped class.
Oh yeah, we gotta get our little plaid skirts on and our eye makeup.
Yeah, melting eyeliner.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Golden State Cider. It's pretty refreshing.
Okay, I'm Morgan. I'm drinking non-alcoholic sparkling rosé. It's really good. I didn't skip in high school. I didn't like middle school, and that's when I was rebellious. But then college, definitely, I'd say I skipped a lot all the time, and usually I was like going drinking or something. So
I'm Stefan, and I am drinking lemonade because I'm a good boy. And whenever I skipped in high school, I'm so lame. I would skip and just go to the drama room and take a nap. But one time I skipped and went to the drama room to take a nap. And I'm not going to say any names, but two guys were already there. And somehow it ended up becoming the three of us watching gay porn on a portable DVD player.
I love that.
Sounds like a great experience.
I know.
I mean, it definitely was for one of us.
At least one.
At least one. I mean, no, we were all pretty gay, even though one of us tried to go back in the closet shortly after. He was like, no, you see, he was one of those, was like, you know, I'm not gay, I'm just really feminine because I was raised by women. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
all right,
watching it for the research, huh?
yeah I just want to know what the culture does, you know. It's for the culture.
I want to add on, because one other, in college there was a class that I skipped every week, art history, because it was bullshit class. Like, it could have been fun, but it wasn't. And the guy actually took like attendance of some sort. Like, he passed around this paper as this huge hole. And me and my friend Antonella, like, that whole semester, we'd go in, sign up, I'd grab a bagel and a coffee, and then we would go to her apartment and play Mario. So we would use that time to play this Mario World game. And we beat it. We beat it that semester. It was really great.
Well, y'all got an A+
for that. Oh, I don't know what I got in class, but
oh, I mean, you achieved something more important.
Yeah. So much fun. It was worth my time.
That reminds me of that, this one class Stefan and I had. What was it? It was like, it was some kind of history.
U.S. history.
It was U.S. history. Okay. And it was at like 4:30 and it was too late. And we would like try and go. And I'm like, shouldn't we just go? Should we go to Chili's instead? Or like, should we go to like Applebee's half price apps instead? So
yeah.
Absolutely. Finally, we like signed out. And remember, he was like disappointed in us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no one cared.
Yeah. I want to say his name because it sounds like, I mean, but I can't.
But like, here's the thing. I feel like there were a good chunk of classes in college that were just come in for the test days and just kind of blow off. Like, I think maybe in the entirety of my chemistry semester, I came like 4 times.
Sounds about right.
That's about right.
Mm-hmm. Only for the tests.
Yeah, so busy
studying. Stop off of homework.
Wait, what are we talking about? Oh, never mind. Different.
And honestly, the only reason I passed those tests was because I looked at the paper of the girl in front of me.
Of course, yeah.
You're doing it right.
College was about surviving, okay? It's not about learning a damn thing.
No, that's the life lesson, right? Don't show up. Copy from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Profit.
Work smarter, not harder.
So this is probably the most exciting part of our episode today, guys, so buckle up. We start season 3 with Emma reading a book that was called Not Wanted on the Voyage. We don't have to belabor it, but it is such an Emma book. It's a magical realism retelling of the flood with a cantankerous God and a very abusive Noah, so very perfect for Emma. But in this moment, Spike says it's time, and we hear a song.
Is this the set of Lion King? What are we doing right now?
And it just is this cycle of it's time, it's time. And we realize that Spike is apparently going into labor. And she is, we figure out that she is planning a home birth. Of course she would, but has not planned it well. And everyone starts panicking, everyone being Spike and Snake and Emma. But it turns out that this is all a drill.
Yeah, fuck Spike for that drill.
Yeah, everybody's pissed. She's been doing this like regularly.
Mm-hmm. Every time she's acting, I'm like, girl, like, just join a club, join an improv club.
Yeah.
I mean, like, would you need that many drills if you're just going to be at home for the thing? Like, I thought that was more important, like, about getting the car ready and, like, the jump bag and all of that. But, like, if you're just going to be at home on, like, a mattress pad.
There's not much to prepare. They can walk to the bedroom and get you some ice water. Like, I mean, the bedroom, but you know what I mean? Like,
maybe she was just trolling them, which would be kind of funny. She's just like, this gets them so mad.
Well, we definitely see where Emma gets it from, because I do remember writing down Spike saying something like, having a home birth is a pretty huge deal. I'm sorry if it's putting you out. And like mother, like daughter.
They get into a fight that definitely feels like two teenagers fighting and not a mother and daughter fighting. And it's just like Archie in the background trying to stay out of it. But it's like,
there's vibes.
There is one adult there and he doesn't want to deal with your shit.
Yeah.
I mean, also, I feel like Spike is like, I need to have this go perfectly because the first time I ended up with you, Like, I want to make sure that this baby is actually like comes into the world like taken care of, and
I want this child. That's this child will not be an asshole.
I too would be afraid of epidurals if like I got Emma the first time around. I'd be like, maybe drugs aren't that great for this.
I'm doing it at home. I'm doing this natural.
Yeah. A couple hours of like hard labor or 18 years of another Emma.
This is how we start season three. We roll the credits. And actually, you know what? I am pleased because now Marco is on the front. So maybe more episodes will not be about Emma, Toby, and Ashley. No, they'll still be. So we start on the first day of school. And we get to see all of the gang. We see Craig and Ellie and Marco. We see Paige and Spinner kissing. But any joy that could be taken from that is done as we cut back to Emma, who is telling Sean how she's being treated like a second-class citizen in her home. And Sean says, you should suck it up. And we all agree.
But I want to make note that, like, I feel like this season, the very intro of all the characters, they really tried to nail home, like, the archetypes that they are by, like, how they were dressed. Like, Marco was dressed super fucking gay.
Oh, yeah. You know,
Ellie was gone, like full like punk with better bangs because she's learned from last season, you know. You got Sean and he's like in his 8 Mile gear, just, you know, ready to be in shop and take on the world and not deal with his issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like his style changed like pretty drastic. Yeah. But I think it's because of what you said, like they're trying to like have these like weird molds of them, like he can
be, I love
and a denim jacket.
Mm-hmm.
I also love how he just like is frankly like, just suck it up. Like he's like, you're obviously sounding so privileged and it's embarrassing. You sound like a dumbass. Like just shut up. And she does. I mean, that was just funny because
she does.
He really does. And I'm like, I mean, you kind of see why he left so early in the season. You spoiler alert, they break up. But like, it's like he's already kind of done with her. He's like, okay, it's been a couple months. Like I can't stand her.
Yeah.
I just imagine like when they break up, he's like, I cried over that, like her. Really, I cried for that.
There's a lovely scene that we don't get enough of where effectively they're talking about homeroom teachers, and there's an interaction between Quan and Spinner, and you find out he's repeating the ninth grade, and it's actually really cute because I think he says Quan is the pain of his existence, and she's like, Bane, and that's why you're repeating, and it's really funny. And then Jimmy sort of comes in and starts some shit with them too, but I wish we got more of that.
Laughing, and Jimmy was like, I was.
It was giving me like, it was giving me like, I want to be your daddy vibes. Like, it was kind of scary. He like whispered in his ear and was like, I was. Like, I was like, oh gosh.
It was champagne poppy vibes.
It was champagne poppy.
In that moment, and he's like, whoa, maybe this is
I was like, whoa, okay.
So two things. First, when they're looking and like trying to see like who's their homeroom teacher is gonna be, and Hazel's like, oh well, Mr. Armstrong's cute, and Paige is like, easy there, he's a teacher. I'm like, really, Paige, of all people. Let's look at your choices in the future. Second, Jimmy has a huge chip on his shoulder about kids getting left back.
He really like cannot let that go. And it's just, but like this whole episode is like Jimmy the villain. Like it's like he's super bored after summer because it was him alone in the condo and pizza. But like, he's just like troll mode right away.
He's having fun with the start of the school year, which he had that dope locker, which we'll talk about later. So he's excited about his life.
Yeah, like I said, we don't get enough of this because we switch to Emma, who I presume is in homeroom, and we get a quick intro to Chris Sharp, who never gets developed into anything really. But Miss Hasilakos is doing roll call, and she accidentally calls Emma Simpson. And not only does Emma take offense, but she goes on like a soapbox rant around homeroom about how this is horrible, and this is not feminist, and she lost it. And
like, poor Miss Hot Sauce is just trying to do her like first day job and get to like 3 o'clock, and like Emma first thing in the morning is trying to rip her a new one, and I just felt really bad for her.
She was like, look, it was a mistake, like chill.
Yeah,
if we have any teachers out there listening, answer us this question, and we promise to keep it anonymous. Do y'all drink on the job?
The first thing I thought, just pour some wine in your fake coffee
in your thermos.
My thermos. I would
just keep going.
It's all day.
Miss Kwan was definitely Yeti. Tipsy.
Like, Karina, you're a teacher. Do you pour some Irish, make Irish coffee?
Is that oh, no.
Never. Why would I ever drink for these?
You like the limoncello.
Oh, yeah.
In the limoncello. Karina
would never.
Oh, the Maro Montenegroni. No, I would never drink. I love these kids so much, specifically Derek.
There's no way, like, being drunk is why you're, like, punching these kids or getting ready to punch these kids.
Knocking kids to the ground.
They call it impulse control disorder, but, you know, not made better by those Italian spirits.
You're so right, though, Nina. Like, I felt the same way for Miss H. Like, the first day of school, first class, and I'm like, she just looks over it.
Yeah.
It's only 9 a.m. Like, poor lady.
And she totally heard JT saying that he wants to bang either her or Miss Kwan.
I was like, first thing, it's like, what, 8:30? And it's like, she's got JT, like, ogling her and Emma fucking yelling at her. And I was like, I would quit on the spot.
She's like, Jesus Christ, didn't we go through this last season?
Your dad will just give me more alimony and I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Like, I can't do this.
Well, we can't do those things.
And she's like, oh, shit, and I have Peter.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
I know.
Well, unfortunately, the B plot of this episode is not that much better, in my opinion, but at least it's a pleasant detraction from a lot of the Emma stuff. Turns out that there is, like, a hierarchy to locker assignments in this school, and they really, really play up how bad the bad section is. That looks like a wasteland, and there's a rat on a string, or a fake rat on a string, and it looks horrendous. And the whole plot is that Spinner realizes that his 4 month anniversary is coming up and he wants to give Paige a gift. And he does some kind of, like, trade up to try to get the best locker there is. And we're going to have a great discussion on that, I suppose.
He's trying to be a good boyfriend. She was being a little crazy about Paige, a fucking locker.
Yeah, Paige was being a little nuts this episode. But,
like, I can't, she says at one point, I can't live here. And I'm like, live here? Like, it's not that serious. It was never that serious for me.
Yeah, like, I barely used it. It was like to store things, like, that weren't books. Like, it was just everything else went in there.
And you find out that prime real estate is right by the girls' restroom, which I guess makes sense, but I don't know. I mean, that seems worse.
People actually use restrooms. I don't want to be there.
And fucking Hazel, the office. Office is right there. I'm like,
I will say, this is the best acting. Like, Hazel in these couple of lines is the best she's done this entire show.
Yeah.
I'm like, honestly, I'll give you that. People have, like, just give us some good Hazel snippets. Like, this is who she was meant to be, but they did her wrong.
I think this is more lines than she had all of last season, to be honest.
Yeah.
Fire a pony.
Mm-hmm.
She had an episode, guys. Don't forget that.
Oh, I guess she had it. I guess she had lines in that.
You're right, Mon.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had that one episode.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's where they got the generic fake African music from, was Hazel's Pass in Somalia.
Yeah.
Hazel's the one who's singing, like, hey, 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 hey.
Amazing Grace, how sweet.
Because between that.
Sorry, Andrea Loomis, we love you. You can come on our show.
Yeah.
You can come sing for us.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, the bad lockers are basically in Lakehurst. I mean, they're horrible. So
the Lakehurst lockers.
And we go back to Emma and Craig and Ashley, who pops in as always. They're looking at an old yearbook, and they, you know, they're kind of reminiscing. We're not reminiscing. They're kind of pointing out, oh, look at how crazy our parents looked. Like, Joey had hair, and Spike had hair. And then they come across someone named Shane McKay, and you know, Emma like clams up, and she's like, can we drop it? I don't want to talk about this.
The weird thing about it is they're literally just like, who's that? Is that someone that you know? Is that a friend of your mom's? And she's like, it's no one. Drop it. Like,
yeah.
Why are you being an asshole again? Why are you so defensive? We just asked a question. Like,
why point him out at all then? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Why focus on him if you didn't want to talk about it with your friends? But
it's a whatever. Pretty natural question to come up if you don't know a person. Like, what the fuck is this?
She reminds me, like, when you're in a group of people and there's one person who, like, no matter what you say, it's, like, wrong, and you have to tiptoe around eggshells, and it's so frustrating to watch. And then it makes me blessed to have you folks, since I don't have to do that.
Yeah. And in that scene, Craig had Ashley and Emma to tiptoe around. Yes. So, poor guy.
Poor guy. And like Ashley was like right there around mm-hmm. him. Like,
yeah. Doesn't she say something like, I think that should be my new style for Spike? Yeah. And I was like, God, no, you already fucked up last season.
Please don't.
Like, honestly, even right now, Ashley looks like that style is like if Reba McEntire were at a Ramones concert.
Yes.
He's a survivor.
Definitely like, Reba.
Single mom who works two jobs, who loves her kids and never shops.
Ashley, she knows everything about being a single mom.
This is the moment where Ashley just has mom hair all the way until she disappears to England.
Yeah.
What if Ellie comes over and Kate and Ellie are just making fun of Ashley's hair? Like, yeah, Ashley, that haircut's real good. Yeah.
It's you.
So we find out that Emma relates that Shane got her mom pregnant and then took off. And we cut to this very strange flashback of baby Emma or toddler Emma. And there's a guy that looks like he's a doctor and he is acting normal. And someone's fighting with Spike over Emma. And it's implied that the doctor doesn't want to be around Emma, which is ironic for what we find out at the end of this episode. But
you mean that no one wants to be around Emma?
Not a soul.
Imagine after all that shit, if instead of the whole convoluted plot, Spike is just like, yeah, he took off because he hates you. That's it.
Tried to hide it, but you're annoying and he hates you.
We tried to make it work, Emma, but you know. So I think the next scene there Snake is painting and he's singing a song that maybe is from Degrassi Junior High about strange animals, but he complains to Snake about how just horrible it was for Miss Hastalakos to call her by the wrong name. And it must have been her fault. I mean, it must have been Snake's fault. It must have been everyone's fault and her mom's fault, everyone but Emma's fault. And, you know, probably just because someone, you know, the secretary knows that she's his daughter. But of course, Emma's like, but I'm not your daughter. I only have one dad and he's not here. And
this is my nomination. The most Emma moment of the episode is turning the tiniest little thing into the tiniest itty bitty fleck of snow into the most self-absorbed, I'm going to treat everyone like shit avalanche.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was the beginning of, no, this isn't the beginning of me hated her from the very first episode of the season, but this was just like, all right, we're not even going to return to you trying to be a half decent person.
She yells at Archie out of nowhere. Yeah. Yelled at Miss Hot Sauce early in the day. Then she starts yelling at her mom. And it's just like, she's always been sanctimonious, but this episode in particular, it's like she doesn't even let them answer her questions without her just like ripping them apart and yelling at them. And so I was just like, I wish Spike was harsher on her.
She has such an accusatory tone where she's literally just always like, you said this, but I'm not your daughter. Like, what the fuck? Like, these are adults. How dare you speak to them like that? I would have gotten slapped to the ground.
God, and it gets worse. Like, you know, Emma gets all, like you said, sanctimonious about, Spike says, you know, he hasn't been in your life for 10 years. So she's like, it's 11. And then she's always like, a lot can change in 11 years. Because you know, bitch.
Right? Aren't you 11? Shut up. Like, what are you even talking about?
Oh, God, I hate, yeah.
Also, correct me if I'm wrong, because it's real hard to pay attention to details in these. But like, doesn't Emma say something about like going to find her dad, and like Spike is all like, no, don't do that. I don't remember exactly what was said, but I just have one note that was, Spike, you should know by now that Emma is not going to stop.
Yeah.
Not to do something is the moment she's like, guns a blazing. Let's do this.
She's already planned. She took said your not credit to card. Talk to
strange men on the internet. Guess what? I'm going to chase him around town for a 20. Let's do this. We're here.
Got to file that away about the cyber stalkers and her still being able to use a computer because clearly they learned nothing.
Well, now she's the cyber stalker because she's bothering the last
That's
name.
That's right.
Like,
leave Shane alone. Damn. Yeah,
leave Dr. McKay alone.
Yeah, this fool does not know you. What are you doing here? I would have been so pissed off at her. It doesn't take much for her to piss me off.
So we realized that there's something insidious going on, because after she leaves and storms off, there's Spike and Snake are like, you know, you're gonna have to tell her eventually. And like, oh, I wonder what that means. So we cut to a baby shower, and you know, there's a lot of people there that probably make some appearance because they were on the Degrassi Junior High. But what's really cool is Caitlin and Sydney meet for the first time. Ooh. And Joey gets to see his past lover and his current talking about him.
Yeah, but Caitlin gets to meet Sydney in the best way possible, because it's Sydney like talking down to her, as she should, about how to like clean her clothes, because Caitlin's such a goddamn mess. Mm-hmm. And Caitlin just word vomiting her whole life story and like journey with Joey, and Sydney just like nodding until he like kisses her in front of it. It was great to watch.
Okay, so Degrassi Junior High fact. So the people who were there, we've got one of the twins. I don't know which one. I'm going to assume it's the twin who got the abortion. Mm-hmm. And
we have
Liz, who, yeah. So one of the twins got an abortion. And Liz, who is the, the home birth?
Oh, she's the midwife.
Mm-hmm. So Liz, who is the midwife, is fervently pro she's a pro-lifer, and protested the one who had the abortion, and they're both here at this baby shower.
That's scandalous.
Mm-hmm. Also,
so this midwife is pro-life.
Yeah, she's a pro-life midwife.
That's a hard one. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let's not forget that the reason Joey and Caitlin broke up, since Caitlin wants to be like on again, off again, is that he was fucking Tessa Campanelli, who he got pregnant, had the abortion. So basically, there's a bunch of abortion shit revolving around this baby shower.
At the baby shower.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, now, like, after it, everybody's just like, wow, like, we were crazy back then, huh? Like, yeah. Those were, like, funny times. Like, how have you been? Like, you look great. Like, I wonder if it's like, wow, we were just kids then. Anyways.
You still believe I'm going to hell? Yeah, I do.
So Emma starts digging, and she goes up to Caitlin and is like, so, what do you know about my father? And Caitlin's like, well, why don't you just ask Spike? I don't know anything. And Emma's like, well, I already did, but I didn't get anything. And Caitlin doesn't want to do it. I was
a little shocked Caitlin had restraint and did not say it, because I'm like, Caitlin's usually, well, she already word vomited to Sydney. Maybe she learned her lesson. Yeah, because I was like, usually she's the one who's like just saying all this shit she shouldn't to Emma.
Oh, Shane, yeah. You know, he's on and off again. Mm-hmm. He's a revolving door. I mean, he's just the great unrequited father, you know.
It was crazy. Yeah.
So I don't think much else happens at this party, but Emma, like we said, Emma decides, you know, we cut to the middle of the night, and she decides to go on her computer, which, yes, is in the dining room or living room, but she still has access to it when no one is watching. And she keeps Google stalking her, I guess, Lycos stalking or Yahoo stalking her father. And she finally finds some guy named Shane McKay, and decides to go see him.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a note that she's like sleeping in a dump of a room. And I maybe there is some credence to her second class citizen in quotes, but yeah.
Well, they moved her, right?
Yeah.
And they're just like, you can stay down there. We'll get it done after the first year. And right now it's all about the baby. So
it's a second chance at having a good child. So we have
yes.
We briefly find out that the locker thing is called Operation Locker Storm, and Spinner is trading for lockers based on a Monopoly game he had with Kendra and Mr. and Mrs. Mason. And I couldn't get excited about this, but that's awesome. Because in the very next scene, we see Emma with trying to convince Sean to cut class with her. And he's like, no, I want to like go to class. I don't want to skip. And she says, maybe like a contender for the second Emma moment, don't you think finding my birth father is a little more important?
That pissed me off too. Like, I don't care.
Does she forget that Sean is like on parole or whatever? Like, he cannot be skipping class and doing stuff like that. Oh,
she got a truancy court because of her dumbass, you know?
And she's saying this to Sean, who's got all these issues.
He's like, go this weekend. Like, he's Your dad will still be there. Like, you don't have to drop everything. It's literally Friday. Like, we can go tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And then when she can convince him, she's like, fine, whatever. I wouldn't want you to get in trouble. But she doesn't actually care. It's all about Emma.
Narcissism. Mm-hmm.
Now, we do have a cool scene in the middle of like these two Emma things where basically you see Spinner's attempts to go to JT and Toby and then Chris and then to Hazel. And it seems like finally Spinner gets what he wants, the locker of Paige's dreams. But before we can continue that plot line, Emma actually successfully convinces Craig to go look for her father by the same guilt trip. You know, he's like, mm-hmm. why me? And she's like, well, I thought you'd understand with your dad and all.
Like, how?
Why would I understand? Like, why would I want you to find your dad because I lost mine? Like, that makes no sense.
Exactly.
What a manipulator.
I just, like, I mean, I know he does, like, bring it up later, but I was just like, she's trying to look for, like, I guess a third parent. And meanwhile, Craig is none. And I don't understand, like, why she would think he could relate to her in this situation.
So, like, I will say, one of the things that she brings up is that, like, oh, Manny's mom would get her in so much trouble if she did this. And I'm like, where's Manny?
Yeah.
Manny's been gone this whole episode. And honestly, that's probably the best life choice Manny ever made, was like, I can't be around this right now. I have Spirit Squad. I have grades. I have yet to, you know, flash my boobs to the school. I'm not in the point where I can make these kinds of mistakes, Emma.
Damn. Yeah. She's like, Em, I can't make it to your mom's baby shower. I'm sorry. Yeah, she didn't want to go.
And somehow, despite all this manipulating, Craig actually agrees to go. Like, he's actually pretty happy to skip school. And they have that montage of them traveling on the train and kind of going around Toronto and making like a very, very quick circle. But it's actually pretty cool. I enjoyed watching them travel, and it seemed pretty carefree if you tease out the reason they're going. But they come, they actually do discover Shane's house, and they knock on the door, but the man who opens it is certainly not Emma's father. And he's a well-to-do doctor that would never procreate to make Emma.
He opened that door with such an angry face, like he hated her within 2 seconds.
He was pissed. Like, what do you want?
I'm going to have to practice.
I'm Dr. McKay.
Yeah.
He's like assuming she's like one of the people. Oh no, never mind. I'm not even saying that.
Well, the best part is she's like, I'm Emma. And he's like, I don't give a shit. Who the fuck are you?
It's me. And he's like, okay.
He's like, listen, I got a vasectomy as soon as I turned 16. You are not mine.
No way. There's no way you could be mine at all.
Like, you are not like Joe Manganiello. You are not secretly black somewhere.
I don't know you. I don't. That's what he was confused. He's like, who is this random white girl on my porch? Like, I don't know her.
Well, they realize that their search has come up empty. And so Craig Emma try to find Shane again. And they use Snake's alumni committee and the fact that he has files on everyone to find Shane's real address, which is in some place called Stouffville. It's like an hour away from Toronto, and it's 11405 Shaw Avenue. So more to come on that. And we get to the big reveal of the B plot, where Spinner reveals the locker to Paige, but it's shit. It's absolute shit. It is riddled with bullet holes. It's just a terrible, terrible locker. And at that moment, you hear like the chirp chirp of a car opening, and Jimmy comes up with his fancy, really cool locker to dig the, you know, try to throw the knife deeper into Spinner. So.
It's just an electronic lock, though, but like they're acting like this is the most high-tech thing, and it's just clean. That's it.
Hey, those locks were cool. I had one, but then it ran out of batteries, so they had to like break it open. So kind of a pointless luxury that does not last long. But I thought it looked cool, like him doing his little turn, opening his locker.
Yeah, and he's like, this is the prime locker. And you think it's going to be like, I don't know, they would have gone all the way out and like kind of ducked it out like a Hey Arnold locker or whatever, but it's just got like Gatorade in them. So as Paige says, location perfect, the locker, no, but you're sweet for trying. So Emma and Craig get on a train to Stouffville, and they realize that, you know, they get to 1405 Shaw Avenue, and it's not what they think it is. It looks strange. Like, there's a lady at the entrance, let's call it, who says, do you have an appointment? And we're like, all right, this is weird. Something strange is going on. And Craig realizes that S. McKay is in some room 209, and Craig will cover for Emma, who goes upstairs and stumbles upon Shane's room.
Bust in there.
Yeah, and she just like opens the door, you know, on this guy, and he's like, you know, arranging, I guess, some sort of plate or something over and over. But again, Emma like doesn't bother to knock or anything.
Oh no.
Oh, Emma not bothering to knock and just barging in somewhere she wasn't fucking invited.
Yeah, Craig was enabling though. He's like, go.
So now, in a hardly like- derivative episode of Degrassi, Shane would see Emma's face and be like, oh, it's game time. Gotta put it on.
Like, he actually is a doctor, but he's like, I'm gonna take this for you now. Yeah.
He's like, oh shit.
The jig is up. They will
come. Guilt tripper while you're at it. Emma doesn't ever see me. I know. Feel like shit.
Fortunately, or unfortunately, actually unfortunately, Emma realizes that, well, we learn that he has a traumatic brain injury, and the episode ends on Emma's face going completely wide and realizing something's amiss. So roll credits, start the second episode in the middle of everything, and you were supposed to be a doctor, not a patient. This was a mistake.
Oh my God.
Is that already the Emma moment? I mean,
there's so much wrong with that. There's so much
to unpack about that statement.
Like,
what a wild ride this has been.
Just disgusting. She's disgusting. That's what it is.
Yeah. And Shane appropriately says, you know, has a picture of Emma and is like, she's my daughter, but she doesn't love me. It's like, yeah, it's Emma. So
yeah
you write about
trash,
that.
She's Shane. A trash daughter for sure.
Mm-hmm. And she only loves herself.
In a weird, I don't know if it's heartwarming or not, but like, you know, Emma does get Shane to realize that she's his daughter. And he's like, don't be sad, everything's okay, your daddy's here now. And I guess Emma's happy for a millisecond before she's like finding a reason to complain about this too. So whatever it takes.
Like, she like, she's like, oh, and then she's like, wait a minute, I'm mad again. I'm
Emma. Exactly.
There's always a reason for Emma to be pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Well.
You literally get everything she wants and goes, I've gotten everything I wanted. That wasn't hard enough. I'm angry.
Should have done it this way.
Hugged by her dad that she just searched for and was like, fuck, I hate this.
Fuck around and find out, lady.
So after the credits, we get a cool scene of Jimmy and Spinner sort of negotiating their locker. Because I forgot to mention in last episode, it appears that like by showing this cool, amazing locker with the Gatorade and the basketball, that's actually the locker that Paige wants. And so, you know, Spinner's kind of like, they bring up the MP3 player and he's like, let's just bury the hammer, another Spinnerism. And ultimately the negotiation is that if by noon tomorrow, Spinner admits that he has no backbone to everyone, Jimmy will give him the locker.
That was another intimate moment. Like, so yeah. in theater, you know, you're always taught, like, when you get close, you're either like going to make out or you're going to fight. Right. And I just kept feeling like they were going to make out. Like, it was just, Jimmy is coming on strong. Like, he was like, totally, it's like a little bit much. Like, he's like, you have to do this by noon and then it's all
yours. Oh yeah.
I'm like, what's all his? I'm so lost right now. Yeah, exactly.
I think he's turned on by it all too.
Yeah, sure. Like that power. He's just like, damn.
That. Was that a champagne poppy moment?
By yes. The oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yep. You guys are onto something. They probably like told Aubrey Graham something to the effect of like, you know, you guys are best friends, like your bromance. And he's like,
got it.
All right, action. So we cut back to Emma and Shane, and I guess eventually like she's okay with all this sort of, and I guess there's a heartwarming moment where Shane's like, you know, my head's okay now. But then that nurse from the beginning comes in and she's like, who do you think you are just barging in here? And of course, Emma, I'm his daughter, Emma, actually. And
like that shit means anything to her. Like,
look, that nurse is underpaid and overworked. She's running around. There's not enough people. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't need to deal with some stupid ass kid. And like, you're going to like yell at me? Like,
well, that's why they're ridiculous, because she's just so rude. They go there. They should have talked to someone in the front and be normal. And then when she gets caught, try to be a little respectful at all.
Right? So, you're in the wrong.
Yeah. Also, like, this nurse has probably worked here for a long time. Emma's like, I'm his daughter. And she's like, listen, I work 5 days a week. I have never seen your ass once. Yeah. So let's not pretend like you're more important than you are.
Yeah.
Or the nurse is in on it and she's like, fuck, Emma's here. All right, guys, take it on your station. But, it turns out that the nurse is right, because she's like, he has routines he needs to stick to. And, you know, barging in on Shane can aggravate his TBI, notwithstanding Degrassi's depiction of it. But it comes true, and Shane becomes very irritated. He starts getting aggressive. He throws his plate, but the nurse is able to calm Shane down by, you know, telling him to start knitting. But I guess that also pisses Emma off. Like, it doesn't really matter what you do. She's just mad. So, yeah. But Emma does probably the subprime Emma moment by giving Shane her address. Dun dun dun.
So yeah. And she's so dramatic. We can write each other whenever. Thanks, Papa. Right. Like, what?
Well, it gets worse, because like, you see Craig and Emma talking on the way to the train station, and she's like, I hate my mom, you know, Craig, my father is brain damaged. And Craig's like, well, at least you have a father, last time I checked you have two. And like, Emma kind of has a self-realization here, but it doesn't matter. It's so,
it lasts really long. Yeah,
no.
Like this. Mm-hmm. Good point.
Mm-hmm. That was a from Emma.
Yeah. Well, the whole episode she's acting like she has bad parents, and it's like all you're seeing is like Archie painting a room for the baby and like being a good stepdad and trying to mediate between her and Spike, and she's just like acting like she has the most horrible life or something. And I don't know, I just feel like jealous. Even Craig was like, what the fuck,
she's jealous of the new kid, like, mm-hmm. She's acting out.
Oh yeah, because they dumped her big in ass the basement age.
Yeah.
Well, she's the one who wanted that baby. She was getting like shit for like even thinking about an abortion. So I'm like, you wanted the baby more than anyone there. So shut up.
Is it like, the basement or get out? So
like, yeah. Midwife, like daughter.
Pre-2021, when parents would complain about their kids, I'm like, you wanted to keep it past, you wanted to keep it to full term, you deal with it. All right. Yeah. Emma, you wanted your mom to keep it to full term? Fucking ran out, like sabotaged her abortion plan too, because she was gonna have one, but you had to fucking tell Archie.
So you know, the night in your pajamas.
You do the time. Mm-hmm. And the time was making Emma.
There are so many moments in the last three seasons where you know Snake is like, why did I do this? And he keeps digging further and further and further. And then, you know, now she's in her third trimester having a home birth. He's like, God, what the fuck did I do?
I'll leave now.
It's like, if I sneak out the back, maybe. No. Anyway, where were we? They missed the train, and we get to see Joey have to pick them up and just start screaming at both Emma and Craig for skipping, whatever. But unfortunately, he picks the wrong, I guess, hill to die at, because he's like, what on earth is in Stouffville? And she's like, my dad. And it cuts to Joey's face like, shit.
Her little mic drop.
She says that with an attitude. Actually. And I'm like, still, he had to drive an hour to pick your ass up.
I don't care who's out here. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, your dad's out there. Is he going to give me gas money?
Yeah.
It was such a shitty day, too. It was like Like, Joey didn't have to do that.
And I think, like, this is one continuous Emma moment, because now then we get to her home, and Spike and Snake are at the table kind of waiting for her. And just, you know, key point, Spike is knitting, file that one away, but they start fighting, and Emma's right to the bat. She's like, you lied to me, mom. You know, he's right where you left him, in that prison in Stouffville. And, you know, she basically keeps barraging her mom with things like, you didn't stop him from leaving. And then finally they yell at her. And of course she says, you know, you don't talk to me like that. You're not my dad. And so since this has been a continuous Emma moment since the beginning, I think we're settled on this moment. as
yeah, this one's bad because I'm like, as much like I know she's a teenager, but for her to say like you left him in this prison knowing full well her mom was a teenager
right
when she had her, I'm like, why did you think Spike had any control over that situation? Yeah. Also, it looked like a decent place to live. Like
it did.
Like, well, it was a mansion on the outside, so I was like, it's not the worst place you have to stay in.
He seemed well taken care of.
That nurse knows all his stuff.
You act like Spike married your dad. Like,
yeah.
No, they fucked once at a house party. They weren't even boyfriend and girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Once. And she got knocked up.
Also, like, she was 16 and pregnant. Like, what do you want her to do? Like, pick it outside of the place? Like, that's what you would have done. Had a, like, a stupid petition. But, like, she had other things to worry about. He's being taken care of by his family. Who should be his guardians, like...
Yeah.
Emma would have totally broken him out of that place. She wouldn't even sign the petition. She would have been like, we're taking you out of here. You're my father's child. Like, I deserve to have you with me.
Mm-hmm. That's
my child's father.
Shit right there.
Yeah, no, you're my father's child.
Okay, you're my father's child.
I said it. I'm sticking with
it. Okay. That's a whole different story.
Listen, things were different. It was Canada in the 80s. All right, shit got weird.
I mean, like, barring the fact I don't know that much about TBI, so I don't know how close this portrayal is. I'm going to guess it's still offensive. But Emma just acting like she or Spike should possibly, like, know what the best for Shane is also just Emma being Emma. Like, you saw he's not well. Why would you just think that, like, you would know better than Spike or the staff at the facility he's at? Like,
I don't know what she was thinking.
Like, I don't know what she thought.
She's at that prison. I'm like, the lady had a pretty good explanation. She was like, you know, he has this issue. We do need to, like, have a set schedule for him. She was super nice about it. She did not have to tell him anything.
Mm-hmm.
And she says it's a prison. She's stupid.
Have Emma ever seen a prison? Like,
she
well, Ashley did research.
Yeah, I'm beyond scared straight. Emma, you need to go to a prison.
Lock her up.
You're a little conniving little bitch. You're always eavesdropping.
She's tough until she met El Diabla, and then some inmate comes out running at her. God,
classy kids go scared straight.
It's so good.
So we cut to Spinner and Jimmy. They're in Armstrong's class, and Armstrong puts this equation on the board that does not have an equality symbol. So, like, anyway, it doesn't matter. but he asks people to solve it, and Jimmy points out that he's only got 15 minutes before he can no longer get the locker. So Spinner volunteers, and Armstrong's like, are you fucking kidding me? I can't tell you how excited I am to finally see you up here. But it's all for nothing. He tells the whole class that he has no backbone. He's like, I'm whipped. I'm totally spineless. My girlfriend completely runs my life. And, you know, Armstrong's like, God damn it. I knew this was stupid.
You know what? Rookie mistake on Armstrong.
Yeah.
That was foolishness.
He
knew it.
Yeah.
He went along with it.
Yeah.
And also, it's the beginning of the semester. All the teachers are just done. No.
Yeah, they're already over it.
And if there was a moment, this was it. Like, he's like, I'm going to give these fine young minds a solid algebra problem. You know, it's impossible to fuck it up because there's no equal sign. But and he's like, here we go again. This, by the way, is why I gave up on my class. So
it's like the beginning of the year joke. He's like, yes. You get it? There's no way to solve it.
Yeah, but he's like, no.
Like, fuck it. Like, forget it. I'm done. I'm already done.
He's like, I try to do something cute, something different.
And so he gets the locker, but we pan to Paige, who is pissed.
Yeah.
And we know that Spinner made a mistake. So we cut, unfortunately, to Spike, who is knitting at her table, and the doorbell rings, and it's Shane, looking pretty good, actually, considering.
He found his way there. He got the cab. Emma couldn't even get a fucking...
Exactly.
Maybe Joey Jeremiah took her.
But, like, damn, Shane, a fucking cab an hour away, that you got some money.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah, he's not spending on much.
Yeah.
But I mean, well, isn't it a job?
Were his parents wealthy, or did I like mix that up for a different character?
They were, right?
I don't remember them mentioning his parents being wealthy, but
I was assumed that they are.
They were, because I was like, that place looks kind of fancy for 24-hour care, but
it's not cheap and it's not falling apart. So, well,
Canada's healthcare is different than ours, but to an American, that seems fancy for a 24-hour facility. So,
you know, he's probably like connected to the Hollingsworth somehow.
Mm-hmm.
If Emma was indirectly related to racist Hollingsworth, I would not be surprised.
Yeah, I could see that.
He has some similar features. Her and the Miles. I can see them.
Yeah.
And wearing a wig and looking like her.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if Degrassi next class had gone past where Maya and all of them graduated, I feel like racist Hollingsworth was going to take up the mantle of being the Emma.
So when Shane shows up, the audience realizes something's amiss, but we cut to Snake and Emma talking in school, and she's still being snippy and whatnot, but Snake actually gives a backstory where the audience now realizes that Shane took LSD and either jumped or fell off a bridge. And I guess, so we have a flashback, like basically the corrected flashback, where it's Shane getting agitated with baby Emma. And there's something like about a red ball dropping that we see in both, but the writers don't have any symbolism here. So I just assume
I don't know what they were trying to do with that. Like the flashbacks in general, and then like the red ball, like it being red when everything's black and white. Like they really thought they were doing something.
That's like the only memory she remembers clearly. The red ball. Oh my gosh. You said agitated with baby Emma, and it cracked me up. I don't know.
Again, Emma gets this whole story, realizes that things aren't what she seems, and she still kind of circles her wagons like, oh, well, she still could have told me or whatever. So we cut back to Spike and Shane, and you know, it's getting creepier and creepier. And like Nina said, up to like this point, I wouldn't have complained about how they wrote TBI. Like, I think it was fairly, you know, as best as you've got in 2000. But then he starts getting like really creepy, and he's like, when did you marry Snake? You didn't tell me. This could be me. And then like we cut to this like really creepy piano music while he's listening to Spike's belly, and it's like, yeah. Oh, she's fucked.
Yeah, like they made him like super like possessive all of a sudden. Like, I don't know, like all this like cluster of symptoms. I was like, does any of this make sense? I don't know where it came from.
I was just gonna say Shane was definitely having a champagne poppy moment. Spike's belly. He got close.
He did. He was like, hold up, this is your baby. It did kind of come out of the blue. Like, good to see you. He's like, no, this is my home. Like, I'm back. And he's like, we're together. Like, this could be our baby. Like, you don't have to be married to him. He's like, shit, it's just like how it was. Like, no.
No, I was just gonna say, how does he even recognize Spike? Like, he said to Emma, like, you're not Emma, Emma's little. Like, how does he recognize this weird pregnant woman as, nah, whatever.
I was just thinking the same thing, and her hair is not the same, so.
Yeah, her hair's not the same. 30.
He's seen her pregnant, though,
like, before. I'm surprised he wouldn't think that was her mom.
That's true.
That's right.
True. Yeah, that's such a that, like, yeah.
This is Nelson, is Spike home? Like,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is exactly. Nelson, you look great.
and I guess that's the
you
point.
You look in your 30s.
Losing the whole TBI thing, because like he's just taken a cab here or navigated Toronto's public transit system.
Exactly. I'm just like
people are mean, like I especially if he had money on him, like that just seems scary. I don't know, especially since he's been like for years at the home.
He can't take care of himself, but somehow he's managing to make this work. I will say, okay, last Degrassi old school throwback, after he had the TBI, somehow he did manage to come to the school dance, the one where the school burned down.
Oh,
wow.
Well, they reuse that a lot, don't they?
Oh yeah, like it that was the first time the school burned down, and then it just kept on becoming a joke.
Degrassi boiling point, we go there 6 times.
Like, Jim's burning down again.
I mean, it could have been asbestos or something. They could have changed it up.
Oh, you mean Shane's there for mesothelioma? It's fucked up. So it gets harder and harder, not, it gets tenser and tenser in the Spike household, the Nelson household, because she keeps trying, Spike keeps trying to get away from Shane, who's acting more and more uncharacteristic of what we've just learned about him. She's like, I have a prenatal checkup. And he's like, well, I'll stay here. And eventually, you know, I guess she tries to don't go for the phone and he stops her and he just starts freaking out and trashing the house. And the rapid cuts between, like, you know, the Spinner and Paige stuff and this is a little bit untonal, but it's really interesting because Spinner and Paige are like fighting now. And Nina pointed out to me yesterday that, like, I think the worst thing is that Paige is afraid of being called a hag or a shrew, because that's what she says to Spinner.
She's like, call me this or call me a hag. And I was like, what? Like, why is that word like bother her so much?
She has a problem with it. Seriously.
I don't even think it's that bad.
Doesn't she actually call someone a bitch too? Like, I mean, whatever.
Definitely been called a bitch, whether it's on screen or not. Like, the bullies are saying, oh, Paige is being a bitch again.
Yeah.
At least two times a day. Someone from the Spirit Squad.
For sure.
And, you know, like, obviously Paige is pissed about the whole thing in math class. And so Spinner tries to explain, like, why he did all this shit for the locker. And he's understandably like, what do you want from me? And, you know, at this point, I do sort of echo what he's feeling, considering how much of a big deal she made out of that locker, only to not want it. And anyway.
I mean, she also, like, slams him pretty hard into the locker. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, this is a really intense fight for, like...
I was going to make a note about that, because she, like, pushes them up against it.
You guys are fighting, like, adults where, like, someone cheated on each other in a marriage or some shit. Like, it's about a locker. What is happening?
It's not that serious.
Yeah, like, she's, like, shrilled and, like, it's crazy.
Literally hitting the same, like, vocal tones that she did when she was, like, don't touch me, don't ever... Like, she's that level of intense. And I'm like,
rage.
Bitch, it was just... It wasn't even that bad.
Yeah.
Like, and why would it be? She made it all about her. Like, he's the one who had to get up and, like, a fool, embarrass himself.
Yeah, it looked more embarrassing.
Like a teenage boy.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm sure that was so embarrassing to do. Yeah.
That's my nomination for second most Emma moment of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's true. Like, I mean, he's saying things that aren't that horrible if you're a teenager in a relationship. Like, I don't know, like, I'm whipped and she owns me, like,
it's Spinner. Like, everyone knows Spinner is, like, a doof, and they're just like,
yeah,
they thought it was funny. They're like, oh, he thought he was gonna actually do a math problem,
like, it's so silly. Yeah, crack a joke.
Like, most people knew this was just some bullshit between him and Jimmy because they have the weirdest friendship or frenemyship ever, and I don't even think would have thought Paige was in on this at
they
all.
They got a situationship.
There you go.
Like, sure this plot was more about them than Paige.
Bring in their ears.
Right. Aubrey, I want you to lean in close to Spinner and pretend that you guys are having a fight. Okay, I got this.
I was.
I liked it.
So we cut back again to Shane and Spike, and I kind of jumped the gun in my last recap. He actually hurts his hand, it seems like, when he gets agitated over the prenatal thing. And now Spike tries to trick Shane into letting her use the phone. And now it's just, you know, everything, it falls apart in terms of their depiction. He's like, he grabs the phone. He's like, you're a liar and an actor. No, I'm sorry. You're a liar. How could you lie to me again? And they fight over the phone and she goes into labor.
Yeah, he, like, pushes her against a wall or something.
Yeah.
Each other against walls this episode.
She hit that hard. I was like, damn. Mm-hmm. Like, she did a pretty good job acting like she was in pain. So.
This was, like, the best.
Well, she's been doing the drill so many times. She's got it perfect.
She nailed it. Yeah.
I actually didn't believe she was in labor. I thought she was just faking again.
Yeah.
Shane, it was just a drill.
It was just a drill. You did great.
It's a prank, bro. It's a prank. So yeah, she actually is now going into labor. And at that moment, you know, Emma walks in and she yells at Shane and she's like, you know, she's my mom. And if you hurt her, I'll never speak to you again. And Emma somehow controls the situation. She picks up the what do you call it, the Chekhov's gun. She hands the knitting supplies to Shane that and it calms him down. And I think we cut again, don't we? Like, I don't think she actually delivers the baby. Like,
no, she doesn't.
She's like, because remember to breathe or whatever.
He, like, I guess manages to call the school.
Yeah, she did.
That's right. And that's right. That's right.
Rabbits or some shit like that, right?
Yeah.
She gave him knitting.
She gives, so she gets him calmed down, and then you cut to, that's right, because Radish is in a conversation with Joey.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not worried about Craig. I seem to recall you skipping school a few times.
I did like that scene.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And they were, like, he was the teacher, right?
He was the teacher and in junior high and became the vice principal in the DeRusk.
So he's known Joey. Well,
he knows Joey back when, you know, when Joey got left back. Graduate high school.
Yeah, probably because he was skipping school all the time.
Did Jimmy have a problem with that too?
Yeah.
No one's laughing. I was. So some random character we'll never see again tells Mr. Radish that it's Emma Lett Nelson on line two and his wife's in labor, or Snake's wife is in labor.
Oh, that's the...
I don't even know about her. I don't know her name, but I'm going to call her Miss Jackson because there's always a Miss Jackson who works the front desk at a high school.
Yeah,
I thought she was the new person that he was like, oh, she knows you're my daughter. Yeah, I thought that was her. And I was like, damn, somebody talked to her and now she knows that, or Emma probably talked to her and was like, it's not Simpson, it's Nelson.
She probably said that before she told her about her mom being in labor. She's like, first of all, it's Nelson Records. Also, my mom is actually giving birth right now, so can you please call Archie?
My stepfather.
You're 100% right. Like, she definitely corrected her first, then said, oh yeah, by the way, my mom needs help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She got it right that time. She was like, damn, hey, whatever you say.
And it turns out that Snake is in the ravine with his insects club. Of course, Liberty's in it. And Joey finds him and is like, Spike's going to have the baby. And he's like, I'm going to be a dad. And then he hugs Liberty, and then yeah, play.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, though, it was really weird that he hugged Liberty. It was just weird.
Okay, Liberty is always getting random fucking hugs from people.
So that's the end of the right moment.
That's one of them. According to teacher, I mean, Perino, you'd never do that, would you?
It's just no. Like, I would just punch a kid in the face.
Oh, well, you know, that's
acceptable.
I mean, it's a high schooler. Yeah.
It's Derek.
Why wouldn't you?
But he is doing some weird shit with the moths. Like, he's, I don't remember if he's like singing a song or, and this club, I love bugs, but this club sucks.
Pulling it.
That was so cute. I love bugs.
So before we can actually have Spike finally deliver this baby, Radish, like, you cut to him stopping the locker scheme because it's apparently against the code of conduct to trade lockers. And, you know, Paige comes in. Radish is basically yelling at Spinner and giving him an earful. And Paige comes in and, you know, he's like, look, I just wanted to make you happy. I just wanted you to have the perfect locker. And then he starts kind of like, you know, telling her what kind of loser fails English. I'm totally broke. Of course you hate me. And they make up, you know, she's like, I'm sorry if I was demanding. Yeah. And, you know, Paige says it was kind of super sweet idea. And they kiss with Jimmy watching.
Yeah.
Glad that they made up.
Spike finally delivers the baby. She realizes she shouldn't have had a home birth because it's very painful. And this is how I know, like, Emma's a Mary Sue character. While she's fucking giving birth, she apologizes to Emma. Yeah. She's like, you're important. You're so important to me.
This is where I want to say that I nominate the most inappropriate moment, because this moment has bothered me for like 22 years. And it is when they zoom in on Spike's feet and she's wearing a toe ring. And bitch wearing a toe ring while she's giving her home birth.
Oh my gosh.
That's the most inappropriate moment.
I agree. I was like, why are they showing us her foot? I was so disgusted.
They're showing her like toes.
She's like grabbing. I'm like,
giving birth.
Oh, and God.
They're like, use your feet and show us that you're giving birth. And she's like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Do y'all want to hear something super inappropriate?
Yeah. Why not? Why the hell not?
She was wearing the toe ring because she wanted to get in the mood for orgasmic childbirth.
Gross.
Oh, probably.
It's a thing.
Does that work?
It's a thing. Yeah.
It's a thing. At the toe ring enhances.
Oh, I'm not sure.
I feel like I'm in the mood, you know, like she's like, I got a foot fetish, so why not?
Yeah.
Ew.
Oh, that's right. Because Snake walks in and he's like, oh, yeah.
Like, oh, it's time. Oh, no, wait, it's time.
Oh, it's time for that, not that.
Is this a drill? Or is it really go time?
Wow, you're really taking these drills to the extreme. You brought Shane? Wow.
What?
I can't tell if that's a placenta or she's a squirter.
No.
Poor baby Jack. He didn't ask for this.
He didn't have a chance.
He didn't ask to be here.
Well, it turns out that everything does go well with Jack, but Shane gives Emma the hat that he made for, I guess he was knitting during this labor. I don't know how that happened, but anyway. And then Emma.
It was a very quick change for Shane to be like, we are going to live together. And this could have been our baby, to being like, I forgive you. I'll knit the baby a hat. Like, fuck it. I know you've moved on. Like, it was a really weird change for me, but whatever.
Yeah, this all happened in like an hour.
Like, why wouldn't he make Emma some socks or something? Like, that's his daughter. It was weird. No, I guess he's caring that there's a baby.
I think she's maybe was starting the hat, so he knew it was going to be a hat.
He just wanted to finish it.
And picked it up. I did like his little jab. He's like, your mom's not really good at knitting. I was like,
You can be shady. You can be shady. You went there.
Guys, I can't believe we did this. It ends on Emma's heartwarming. You know what, Jack? You look just like our dad. So,
which is a lie.
Because now I'm going to disacknowledge the bio parent I spent this whole episode hunting. That's
no longer convenient. So.
Well, it didn't turn out like I thought. I thought I was going to be the daughter of a doctor. Yeah. And it didn't turn out that way. So. You know,
not a patient.
I don't need to know him anymore.
Yeah,
I was really hoping it was the black guy.
Oh my god,
I'm surprised. I mean, knowing Emma, I'm surprised she still wasn't like, you're my dad. Like,
I thought
and
she was
you've
too.
Never reached out and done anything. You're my father.
Yeah,
your name is like, Shane McKay,
and that's my dad's name.
Yeah,
I bet you if she just like saw that guy and didn't know anything, she'd be like, yeah, I'm black now. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden she's dressed up like Nancy Pelosi wearing the fucking kente cloth.
Yeah.
Taking a bow.
Yeah.
That's why they use that music, because
yeah.
Oh, that was Emma singing, wasn't it?
That was her recording. Uh-huh. Her on the mic.
Lady Emma White Mombazo.
Maybe she can do another interpretive dance out of this.
She would. You know she would.
Well, that was quite a ride.
We did it.
That's all we need. We had to just get through those two episodes, and now it's like back to back to back some of the best episodes of Next Generation.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. Like, so I'm glad we made it through, because we now have some of what I think is the best Degrassi episodes there are.
You yes, got the look is next.
It is.
Party.
So,
Did
we differ on who the Claire is for this episode? I mean,
to be freaking kidding me.
Did you flick a switch and erase me from your memory?
Well, excuse me for having loftier ambitions than just some pedestrian high school assignment.
What are you doing here? What are you doing here?
It's, yeah. You know what? My one note for this whole thing is I thought this right when like Spike was hit and went into labor. And I was like, all of this happened because of fucking Emma. Like, none of this would have happened. Nobody's life would have been messed up if it weren't for Emma. Like, she just ruined mm-hmm. everyone.
She created problems out of nowhere because she wanted attention, because all mm-hmm. of a sudden she's interested in finding her birth dad conveniently yeah. at mm-hmm. this time.
Yeah.
And
then in the end, she's like, I don't even want to deal with you anymore. But it's yeah, like yeah. the mm-hmm. baby came early. Homeboy left work. Craig is grounded forever. He after this, you know what I mean? He gets in trouble. Joey's wasting gas. I mean, like, what else can I say? It's just like she's ruining everyone's life.
Also,
after Shane McKay's session was ruined, and
he probably got some of his privileges restricted now. Because
yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I was like, he's probably like not as free as you know, maybe he like got trips or something during the week and they're gonna like
all the drills were for nothing because it ended up just happening this way. So this
is Liz came in halfway. She's like, okay, so we're like, I just got here. Yeah. Traffic.
Yeah. Oh, the baby's out.
Oh,
the job is done.
Okay. What do you want me to do?
Like, she was all normal about seeing Shane too. Does she know him?
Like, what's I up? Mean, yeah, I think so. They were all in eighth grade together.
She's all normal. Like, oh, Shane, what are you doing here?
I mean, really, the moral of the story is wear condoms. Just wear condoms. Because if Shane would have wore a condom, then they would have never had Emma. Then Shane would have never done acid at that concert and jumped off a bridge.
And he would have been a doctor, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, Emma, you ruined Shane's life.
You really did.
From the womb.
You know, like... I was thinking like Emma never seeks him out again, but it may be the reverse, like where after he got back, like, I don't want anything to do with her. I met her once and that was enough.
He's like, that is not my daughter.
And, she goes to the nurse and he's like, hey, I'm here to see my father. He's like, Emma, you're on the do not visit list.
Yeah.
Shane doesn't want to see you.
He's like, she's crazy. Keep her away from me.
This is so rare in our history of this memory care. We have never had someone banned for life, but I'm sorry, man. You cannot come
but congrats.
In.
We have a no Emma's policy, and it's literally just like a picture of her face.
Is this you? Sorry.
If so,
look at her. Look at the sign.
I guess we have a super Claire that is Emma. Did we say was the most inappropriate moment of this part, the second part?
The feet.
Oh, the feet. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Easy, Christine. Unanimous.
That's so unnecessary.
It was really unnecessary. And I don't know why she had a toe ring on. Also, like, wouldn't your feet be like really swollen when you're pregnant? So, like,
exactly.
You don't know. Well, maybe she's wearing it for the reasons Stefan mentioned.
So she bought this toe ring specifically for her pregnant
childbirth.
To enhance
for childbirth. Yeah. Right. So we can all have a good time.
Epidural? No thanks. I don't want to ruin the experience.
Oh God! I just imagine like she's on the floor, she's giving birth. Shane's knitting, and he looks and he's like, "Wow, I really did dodge a bullet." Like.
That about wraps this joyride up. Does anyone want to take a stab at our social?
Okay.
Maybe.
See how many you can remember.
All right. So thank you for listening. You can find us at our socials. Our Instagram is
LastShiftPod.
LastShiftPod.
And our email is lastshiftatthedot@gmail.com. And then our website is lastshiftatthedot.com or lsatd.com.
Thank you. I'm so sorry. I'm so embarrassed. Okay.
No, you'll notice that for 3 seasons of the show, I've yet to do it because I can't. So there is zero judgment from me.
I'll take it. I don't mind always taking it. I'll...
I have to say the rest of it.
Oh, no. I think we did a good job of telling people where to go. Don't forget to buy us wings. Don't forget to comment. And from us at the dot to you out there in Degrassi land, AKA Toronto, we know you can make it through because you certainly made it through these 2 episodes.
Ooh,
hi.
Oh my.